Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are. We are finishing, we're going to finish our series here on forgiveness and reconciliation. This should be airing, I believe, February the 4th, which would be Wednesday. And then we'll start a new series, which you and I will spend some time praying about and getting ready to introduce. It's always fun to take, you know, new material that people are always excited to hear and receive. Because again, as we know, in abiding, it's just getting the word.
Right. You know,
what is the word? What does the word have to say? How does that apply to us? And live it out. And so it's not about trying to remember a bunch of content. It's just as things are being addressed is, you know, how do I get to places in the Word for God to, you know, give that to me? And so that's always our purpose is to just expose the Word of God and let it speak on its own, stands on its own, is true. And just like we're learning with even how do we handle situations where we can't get to reconciliation, God says, well, I have an insight about that, you know, that is in the Word of God, and now, but you have to apply it. And how do we do that? And it's personal. So it's both what we call logos, you know, Bible truth that we have to receive and process that translates into rhema, which is how do you apply this and the steps you need to take to live it out, which is unique to you because your circumstances are unique. And that's the beauty of what we in our ministry teach is that it's possible to have that beautiful relationship, to learn to abide, to walk with Him through the Holy Spirit, to be led step by step by step. And as you and I know, because you deal with a lot of people and so do I, every single situation is unique.
Oh, yes.
And there's no system to it, but rather we know that God will give you the answers. Let's go get them, you know? And so, you know, we're talking about this whole aspect of difficult relationships. And again, as we understand, why are we always going to be in this boat is because the world is full of self-centered people who are come against us, oppose us, hurt us, impact us, manipulate us, control us, and they're all around us all the time. So can you get away from it to see? No. Now, if we just said, God, just keep me from having those situations, He said, yeah, when you come to heaven, you will. But in the meantime, you're living in a world of trouble, and it's primarily driven by self-centered people who don't care. And that can go all the way from a global, you know, leader impacting my government and the way we function and my, you know, the impact on me economically or taxes or, you know, all kinds of stuff to my life, which involves a bunch of people. Both unbelievers, believers, self-centered people that are impacting me, have power over me, impact, you know, my circumstances. And that's why we've said it's such a critical thing that God says you're always going to have this situation, and particularly more difficult ones. And they're not easy to just process to, oh, yeah, sure. It's like, I don't know what to do with this.
Right.
And that's what we've been talking about is God says, I have answers for all of them. And He said, now keep thinking in a way, a really simple approach. He said, first of all, somebody has hurt you or harmed you or come in against you. Are you angry? Yes.
Yes.
He says, is that good? Yes. That's why He says, be angry and do not sin. He said, I actually need you to recognize what they did is not right.
Right. You don't this isn't stuffing the feelings or glossing it over.
No, no. And what I've come to understand is that He said, first of all, you are the recipient of it and it does impact you. And it certainly reveals a lot about your heart. What do you do with this? How do you process it? Where do you go with it? And a lot of that will be revealed in you. But He said the reason, part of the reason to be angry and do not sin is that other person is not walking with me. And my heart is for them to walk with me. And this will be an opportunity for you to be my agent, to invite them to walk with me and keep thinking more bigger story than just the fact that they're coming against you, which by the way, why would you be surprised by that? So He said, let me take you through a process. Number one, 100% of the time, all the time, You start with forgiveness, which is releasing them to have to do anything to satisfy you, but the opportunity for them to learn what it means to reconcile and walk with me. Mm-hmm. He said, that's what I did at the cross. I forgave everybody once and for all, 100% of the time, all the time. And it gave everybody an opportunity, since they couldn't get there on their own, is to process truth to go to reconciliation. And he said, so you need to start there. And what that does is, and this is about between you and me and my heart and your heart, it's freeing you up to not be trapped by this situation. And the question is, if you've forgiven them, now you could talk to them, be in the same room with them, have somebody mention their name. It doesn't rile you back up.
Right. You don't start spiraling.
Spiraling to a negative energy again. Rather, and by the way, you're still angry, which is good, but it's a healthy anger. And that is that you could talk to them with honor and respect. Mm-hmm. And he said, until you get to that point, there's no sense in doing anything else. So, you know, he says, and, you know, this is in Ephesians 4, you know, forgive them as you've been forgiven. And that is, how did I forgive him? In Christ's nature himself, he did that on my behalf. He lives within me, so he's already forgiven them. Be in that same position and just work at it, receive it until you do. Okay, now I said, okay, I could talk to him with honor and respect. Number two, invite them to reconcile. What does that mean? Two parties have to process the truth and don't alter your truth. I forgave everybody. Is everybody reconciled with me? No. Why? What do they have to do? They have to process the truth, and I can't change the truth
right, in
order for them to spend eternity with me. The only way they can do it is to receive what I've done, and I can't alter that. Now, I'll spend all day long, all month long, all year long, all decades long, helping them get to that point of processing that truth, but I can't alter that truth. So you invite them to that. Don't change the truth. They hurt you. They harmed you. Talk about it. Share with them what impact it's had, what happened. And you're hoping that they respond with, oh, I'm sorry that I did that. I didn't mean to do that, or I recognize I did it and I'm sorry. Now let's talk about what could be done to bring restoration or reconciliation to that if I do something different and I work at that. And that would be a solution, reconciling solution to the situation. And once it's done, and the question at the end of it is the same, and I help people with this. When that person offers that solution and you process it, do you feel good about that? And you no longer will carry any residual negative energy because of it. Mm-hmm. If you haven't got to there, then you really haven't got there yet. Stay with it.
Right.
And by the way, maybe it's part of your heart that needs to be resolved, you know, so you would have to do it. But number two, see if you can reconcile. It's going to be beneficial for you to just get it released. One, it's going to be beneficial for them because they're going to learn what it means to walk with me.
Right.
And the freedom that they're going to get because they're trapped by it if they don't. Mm-hmm. Okay, you tried and either I told you don't even bother because it's going to set it backwards. They try and they don't. They don't care. I'm not going to. They try and they just spin it with, it's your fault and everybody else's fault and I don't care and I'm not going to deal with it. And you have to come to a conclusion. Are they going to reconcile? Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, at the moment, the answer, let's say, is no. Does that mean forever the answer is no? No.
No.
And I've had lots of situations where, nope, they're not reconciling at the moment. I let it go, didn't push it, I didn't get bothered by it, but later on, they came back and said, yeah, you know what? I would like to talk to you now about something because I recognize what I did wasn't right. And could we talk? You know, sure. Why? Well, because I forgave them. I didn't spend a lot of energy trying to chase it down. Mm-hmm. But when they finally came to their senses, it was like, yeah, sure, absolutely.
Right.
So it doesn't mean the story's over.
Right. And we do have to leave room for people to grow, right?
Yeah.
I think there is a tendency in all of us to want everyone around us to extend us grace to grow and recognize we grow and change, but we tend to leave people where we left them. Yeah. Like the last time we had an interaction with them, we don't necessarily think of the fact of what God has grown in them or may have been healing in them in that meantime. And so we need to recognize God at work all over and be willing to recognize that they could have grown as well. And when they do, and when they have, to embrace God in the story that he's writing.
Yeah. Or maybe there is an opportunity right now that they are interesting enough moving toward a change and because of circumstance. Like, for example, I just had a couple, the daughter who's a wife, for years have been talking about the harshness of her mom. Mm-hmm. And we worked it through forgiveness, beginning to reconcile, no, a boundary. And she did. And she did well with it, you know. And so I'm free of it. You know, I'm okay with it. I got to be careful because she still does what she does, you know. And okay, well, recently her dad passed away. Mm-hmm. And her mom is now alone. And her dad never taught her anything about money, finances, mm-hmm. decisions, nothing, you know. And so she's really scared.
Right.
Well, interesting enough, a comment was, now my mom's attitude toward me is different. Mm-hmm. And she softened because of that circumstance.
Right.
And I recognize that. And now I'm praying, okay, how do I now walk into that, knowing that before reconciliation wasn't possible.
Right.
But today it might be, see. Mm-hmm. Because the story's never over, and particularly as we get older, and ultimately people are faced with, you know, the concept of death and what's going to happen after death. A lot of times their attitudes changes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe they've been that way, for all their life. And all of a sudden it's like, you know what? I see things differently now. And so our heart is just the same as God's, is that even if they reconcile at the last minute, good news.
Right. You know?
And I want to embrace, that. Okay, they're not going to reconcile. Okay, so then it's, okay, Father, I'm not going to ask you to force them to reconcile. I've made an effort. They're not going to reconcile, but they still are hurting me. Mm-hmm. What do I do? Right. Okay, he says, seek resolution. And the resolution is for you, not the two of you, but you, so that you can live in freedom mm-hmm. and healing. And it doesn't impact you anymore, both in your heart, number one. And number two is, I will put you in a spot circumstantially mm-hmm. where it will not harm you anymore. And I'm going to have to show it. Now, by the way, it doesn't mean they're changing their behavior. They're not.
Right.
They're going to keep doing it. I have to show you a different way of functioning so that mm-hmm. their behavior isn't what's harming you anymore.
Right.
And I'll show you that. Okay, so let's keep thinking of, in this whole process, that's where we want to get to, mm-hmm. is resolution. And it's based on a beautiful couple of truths that God has given us. So go read Psalm 61, 1 to 4, and Psalm 103, 1 to 5. We talked about this before. And then you have a wonderful, a little bit of a, by the way, out of 1 Samuel.
To preach good, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations.
Okay.
And then Psalm 103.
5. Uh-huh.
Says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Yeah. So think about his promise. And by the way, Isaiah 61 is what Jesus read when he first made his first public proclamation out of Nazareth, is, this is what I've come to do. Mm-hmm. This has been fulfilled in me. What? I'm going to heal the brokenhearted. I'm going to release you from prison. I'm going to give you joy for heaviness. I'm going to rebuild, you know, what is ruined. Okay, so as you look at that, first of all, are we going to be brokenhearted?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Are we going to be in prison? Yeah. Are we going to have a heavy heart? Yeah. Why? Well, because, and this is what, you know, Psalm 103 says, I'll restore you from your destructive patterns, is that because we're living in a self-centered world and we've been raised by self-centered people, surrounded by self-centered people, we have destructive patterns. We have mm-hmm. negative things. We have brokenheartedness. We have we're stuck into a pattern of prison of how do I react? And it could be around this awful relationship and what they've done to me, and I can't seem to get out of it. And see, God says, I didn't say if your life was great to start with.
Right.
It was, I'm assuming it's not. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, because you're living
you're
in a world.
This fallen
you're
world.
In the world of trouble, and you're going to be in a variety of scenarios. I offer this to everybody. I'll resolve it. Okay, now think about that. Resolve it for who?
For you.
For me. I'm the one that's brokenhearted. I'm the one that's in prison. Now, somebody else caused it. Somebody else contributed to it. Yes. And I would like them to admit it, and I'd like them to fix it. No, they're not going to. So I can resolve it, and I got to have you walk with me for let me heal you. And so what we're saying is stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Don't accept not. Mm-hmm. I got to get the resolution about this relationship that's impacted me, and they're constantly hurting me, or they're impacting me in a negative way. Give me resolution. And he says, I'll get you there so that you can let the things that lay behind and let it go and work to the beautiful life that I have for you. And then you had this kind of remembrance of a verse you processed, and kind of bring that out so that we can help kind of cap this.
Yeah, it's a fun passage that was highlighted to me recently through a sermon, actually, and it just struck my heart. But thinking back, first of all, rewinding to when David was young, and he ended up going to slay Goliath. And went to do that based on what he knew of God already, God's faithfulness. Yeah. And so when everyone else stood saying, nope, not going to slay that giant, can't slay that giant. That's, you know, there's no way, he's big, he's scary, not doing that. David, based on God's faithfulness, stepped forward and slayed the giant.
And so by the way, in that regard, he made a statement, how dare he defy the army of the living God? You know, yes. And that's the position that we need to say is, wait a minute, how dare what has happened to me defy what God yes. can do? I do not need to be conquered by this thing that's way bigger than me.
Right.
And I've let it impact me my whole life. You know what? How dare that be true? I'm ready to go. Okay. So right. with that context. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He watched all the people around him being held slaves to that very thing. Right. And I love that. I love that. How dare you? How dare that? And so then let's fast forward. And this is in 2 Samuel 21:16-22. There's a lot of names in here that I may botch up. So just, you know, deal with it, but it'll land when we get to verse 22. Then Ishbi-Benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. But Abishah and the son of Zariah came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. Now it happened afterward that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Job. Then Sibbekai and the Hishathite killed Saph, who was one of the sons of the giant. Again, there was a war at, I don't know if it's Gob or Job, at Gob with the Philistines, where Elnahan, the son of Jair-Arigam and the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again, there was a war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he was also born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimea, David's brother, killed him. This is the verse that I love. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. So those last 4 that you heard being slayed giants, it says they fell by the hand of David, yet David wasn't actually present for those.
Yeah.
The fell by the hand of David comes in the fact that because David rewind all the way back to when he was young and he slayed that first giant, because he stood on the faithfulness of God and said, how dare you? And I know this can be slain. He set an example for others that giants could be slain on God's power. And in that, he then had a hand for generations of people after him. He laid a path, setting an example that actually set up freedom for people in future generations to slay giants as well. And I think that's a beautiful tie-in when we look at Isaiah 61:4, where it says, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. I think sometimes when we are looking at forgiveness and we're looking at, especially when whatever has hurt us has led to a stronghold or a system of coping or anything, you know, these things that are not healthy for us, when we are focused solely on what it's doing for us, it's a little bit harder sometimes to recognize the big picture. When we allow God to slay that giant in our life, we're actually empowering generations that come ahead of us to allow God to slay their giants as well and to rework that. That is part of the rebuilding of ruined cities, the restoring, the desecration, all of these things. Part of that comes in literally us taking that step of faithfulness with God based on his faithfulness. And then in that example, others seeing, you know what? I see there's freedom in your life from this. I want that. I want that freedom. I believe in the faithfulness of God too. I'm ready to pursue that too. So part of that is us demonstrating that to the generations that actually brings them freedom as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and as you gain strength with that, see, it's David experienced it. And as we look at forgiveness, let me help you get to the forgiveness. And you can get there. All you got to do is spend time with God and he'll give it to you. Let's see if you can go to reconciliation. And either you do or you don't. And you got to come to a conclusion about that. Yep, looks like it's working. Nope, ain't going to happen because. Okay, now, Father, resolve it for me, which means my freedom and the fact that this giant, this activity no longer entraps me and I don't have to be circumstantially impacted by it anymore. And so as you learn that, you will be asked to both continue that in your own life. And then two, like you're suggesting here, is that David taught these other ones who, by the way, could have been in the same position that Saul was originally, is so afraid, I can't even function. And he had taught him to say, yeah, they're bigger than you. Yeah, it's way more powerful than you, but how dare they defy you, and you can stand there as well. And what we're saying is keep that perspective of I've tried to reconcile and can't, and God says, well, how dare you stay there and let them impact you, but I can overcome that and resolve it for you and stay with it until you do. And by the way, you'll recognize it. And then two is you then serve and have people around you that can walk with you to say, you don't need to stay here. You don't need to keep getting hurt here. Walk toward resolution. Keep going to resolution. And that's what you and I do.
Yeah.
To see, when we have these situations, see, we just say, well, okay, it's tricky. It's tough. There's no answer to it per se on our part, but we know God will resolve it. Let's go.
Yeah.
And when they do, they say, wow, I have freedom now. I have joy. I have resolution. And they then share that with others.
Right. And it goes to the generations.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something to teach your family, is something to teach your people around you, that if you do, you'll recognize that even though I live in a world of trouble with very complicated and difficult and oppressive relationships that are not going to stop, I can live in the joy of freedom and the position where it doesn't impact me anymore. And ideally, it goes to reconciliation. That's the best. If it doesn't, God says, I still can resolve it for you. So as we finish this series, we just encourage you to keep that in mind. Stay with it. If you need some assistance, you're happy to email us, and we'll walk with you and teach you this and give you the help on a specific rhema that you need. And then as you do, keep growing in this and teach others, and you be that person for that, for those other people as well. And so,
absolutely,
Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for the truth that regardless of the difficulty of relationships and what they've done to hurt us and have hurt us or going to hurt us, that we can have freedom through forgiveness, ideally reconciliation, but if not, you will resolve it for us, and that we can trust it, walk into it and experience it. So we live in the joy of life with you, knowing that we live in a world of complication and trouble. And we thank you and praise you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Rich. Thank you for this series. I know this has had a major impact on lots of people, and just a joy to get in the Word and see what God has to say, because his forgiveness, his restoration is for his children.
Yes.
And we need to stand on that. How dare us not, right?
That's right. That's right.
So if you have questions, like Rich said, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.